by living the life of the Spirit. Oh, by the way, I bring greetings from Pastor Victor and Kemi. They are in Nigeria now. They preached in our church in Lagos today. And they are in Ibadan. And then Pastor Kemi's mom's birthday went so very well. I don't know if Obika has anything to show. Maybe later on. Maybe later on we can see them. Now, living the life of the Spirit, part three. As I was saying on Thursday, and I want you to hear me, please. You cannot, your Christian life is not something you live to vagaries. You don't live these things to vagaries. Paul said we don't live a life beating about the what? The bush. Anything comes, anything goes. You don't do that. There is no life that is lived like that that succeeds. You must have a goal. You must have a purpose. You must decide on purpose to live a spirit life. You must make up your mind what type of life you want to live. And like I was saying on Thursday, the life we live is more important than what we have. The life we live is more important than what we have. Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and do what? Lose his soul. So the life we live is primary, is key. And we must make up our minds to live this spirit life instead of living the life of the flesh. Because that's the way we serve God in these last days in which we live. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, it says, but now we have been released from the law. We have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letters of the law, but in the new way of what? Of what? Come on, church. Of what? Living in the Spirit. Of the new way of living in the Spirit. New way of living in the Spirit. That's the way we serve God now. Not in obeying the letters of the law. It is written in black and white. So the Christian must understand this new way that the Holy Spirit is talking about. It's not a question of, I want to obey the laws. No, he says, no, this is living the life of the Spirit. And then there's other words that the Holy Spirit used to describe it so we can understand it. He called it the life of faith, which we now live. He called it the new life, which we now live. He called it the life of the Spirit, which we now live. He have different ways that he described it for us. So we must know that we came to this earth. The Bible says, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. So in Adam, that is the life we had from our parents. The Bible says, that which is of the flesh is what? Flesh. Now in Christ, we are born of the Spirit. We are born of the Spirit. We are born of God. That's why we are sons of God and daughters of God. In Christ, we have life. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So in Adam, we don't have life. To die in this sense is that we are not connected to life. We are not connected to God. We are not connected to the source of life, who is God himself. So in Adam, all die because Adam was kicked out of the garden. And now in Christ, we are brought back to God and brought back in unity with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there is nobody that has life except until Jesus came, because it's only in Christ we are made alive. Until Jesus came, nobody had life. It was only in Christ we are made alive. Now, 1 John 5:12 says, shows us how we are made alive. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not what? Life. That is, now let's go back to verse 12. He that had the Son had what? Life. Which means nobody had the life until they had the Son. That's why the scripture said it is in Christ we are made alive. Life came through Jesus. Life didn't come through any other thing. Life came through Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have his life. He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God, what? Had not life. So you can't go to your job and say, these people behave so well, they are wonderful. If they don't have Christ, they don't have life. That is it. If they don't have Christ, they don't have life. It's not by your behavioral pattern. It's not by what you do, how good you are, how wonderful you are. It's just that if you have Christ, you have life. If you don't have Christ, you don't have life. And verse 13 goes on to confirm that again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He said, those of you who have believed in the name of the Son of God, so you know you have eternal life. It's not the something you have because of how good you are. It's not that. It's because you have received the Son. It must be clear to the Christian what we are talking about. Because it is this life that we receive from Christ that I'm talking to us about. That's what our theme for this year. Is this life we receive from Christ? Is this eternal life that Jesus gave us? Because most churches and most times, all we talk about is what we own, what we get. But the 7 steps to prosperity, 20 ways for this, miracles. All testimonies is about miracles that God. Nobody talks of spiritual things. Nobody testifies of these things that last after we live here. You should focus on the things that perish here. It's a focus on that. But the key thing the Christian must emphasize is the life that Jesus died to give us. That is the number one blessing that we got. That is the most important thing. Like Jesus summarized it, my brethren, what does it profit a man to what? Gain the whole world when you lose your soul. So living eternal life, living the spirit life, takes precedence, becomes number one for the Christian. For the Christian. That's the number one thing that every Christian must be interested in, you know. So to understand how I live this life, the way it works. Again, it is not baptism of the Holy Spirit, because so many Christians confuse eternal life with baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you receive Christ Jesus, you receive eternal life. So every Christian can live this life, whether you're baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. Every Christian, everybody that has received Jesus has received life. So we, the fruit of the Spirit is what every Christian can bear, can live. You may not have the anointing to raise the dead or do miracles, but you can live the life of Jesus. Every one of us. Can I hear amen? Every Christian. If you are born again today, you have received that life, you can live it. You don't have to wait. Look, the anointing, when the Holy Spirit, the battle of the Holy Spirit is to give you power to witness for Jesus. It's not to give you life. It's not to give you life. Life came through Jesus Christ. When we received him, when we believed in his name. So when Paul was going through Ephesus, he saw some believers who had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they were believers. They have received Jesus Christ and they had eternal life. And then look at what happened there. Acts chapter 19 from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He found certain what? So they were disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ already. But they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They had life like we have. They were disciples. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So they had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any what? Holy Spirit. And you know the reason. Their pastor didn't know about the Holy Spirit baptism. Who was their pastor? Who was their pastor? Apollos, not John the Baptist. Apollos was their pastor. Apollos didn't know the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he was teaching them with the baptism of what of John. That's all he knew. But he was preaching Christ. If you read chapter 18, you see where they talked about Apollos. He was mighty in the world, preaching the gospel. But he was limited in knowledge. Severely, and because of the limitation in knowledge, it affected the people he was teaching. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Even this Apollos, they sat him down and taught him the word of the Lord more perfectly. Proud people will not sit down and be taught. I've been a Christian 19 years. Apollos was humble and sat down. And they taught him the ways of the Lord more perfectly. And if you see his ministry, you will see that his ministry grew like that of Paul. That at a point, he and Paul were really very effective in preaching this gospel. His group, because he was humble. That's how you know people who live the life of the Spirit. They are very humble people. And so the disciples that were following, that Apollos brought into, that preached the gospel to, they didn't know baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when they now told Paul that they had not been baptized, Paul laid hands on them and they received what? The Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues and to prophesy. They were not prophesying before. That didn't mean they were not Christians. So we receive Christ. We receive Christ. We receive life. We receive Christ. We receive what? Life. Let's go back and see it again. So that in 1 John 5:12. He that had the Son had what? So if you when you say, I want to receive Christ into my life, the moment you do that, you have life. You have the life that is in Christ. You have the life that God, Jesus said, I came that you have life and have it what? More abundantly. You have that life. It is only those who have this life now that can be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You don't baptize dead people. People who are dead cannot be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's only those who have this life, who have been made alive. Those are the ones upon whom God can anoint to now be his witnesses. God cannot put his anointing up on a rank hidden who doesn't have life to witness for Jesus. He doesn't know. He has not received. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is strictly for Christians so that they be the witnesses of Jesus Christ. You can't call anybody and say, come and be baptized with the Holy Spirit. To witness for who? Christ he has not received. He doesn't know. And Jesus told us, he said, you shall receive what? Shall receive what? Power. After the Holy Spirit has, he didn't say you shall receive life. He said you shall receive power. So that you shall now be my witnesses. But he told us that the life I give will be in you, coming up like a surging from me, because I'm the one alive in you. Now, if you read Romans chapter 8 from verse 9, 10, 11, 12, you see why the Holy Spirit was writing about the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of God. God doesn't have two spirits. And Jesus is that Spirit. The Bible said the Lord is that Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came that we might have life, and the Holy Spirit was given that will have power to be witnesses. Jesus came so that will have life, so he quickens us from death, brings us alive, brings us into unity with God, and we become one with God. Now, let's read some more scriptures and clear this up. In 1 Corinthians 5, 15:45, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a what? A living being. The last Adam became a what? A life-giving spirit. Who is the second Adam? Jesus, not the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, that's the life-giving spirit. Now, because this is the life of Christ himself, that is what I'm preaching to you. The spirit life is the life of Jesus. That you live, you have received. So because it is his life, it is not your life. It's not your life. It is not your life. It's a gift he gave you. It's not your life. It is Christ alive in us. The hope of glory, the hope of living the glorious life of God is Christ in us. If you remove Jesus from us, we cannot do that. And Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing. So it's not a question of, listen to me, brethren, please. It's not a question of trying to obey God. Because now you are shifting yourself back to the law, which couldn't help us. It's not a question of trying to obey God. It's a question of trying to trust Christ so that he can bring about in your life what you cannot do. Look at Galatians 3, 21. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Absolutely not. Now, if the Lord could give us what? New life. If the Lord could give us what? New life. We could be made right with God by obeying. Because life is in Christ, not by obeying the law. No, it's in Christ, Jesus. It's life itself. If the Lord could give us this new life, then we could be made right with God by obeying it. The law cannot. So it's not me, it's not my life, it's the life. That's what Paul was saying. He said, it is no longer I that live it, but Christ now. He said, I live simply by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself to me. So I trust him from beginning to the end. You know. Now look at, David said that in Psalm 121. David said that in Psalm 121. Am I communicating to you? If you are sleeping, say amen. Psalm 121 verse 1. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made what? Heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth me will not slumber. David was talking prophetically about the coming Jesus, that he's the one we all look up to. He's the one that will keep my feet. I'm kept by the power of God. He's the one that will keep my foot from sleeping. The Bible said that he that started these good works in you will what? Complete it. And he's able to keep us from falling. He keeps my foot. He keeps your foot. He keeps my feet. Brethren, I dare not trust in any other thing. I can't trust in myself. Can't trust in you. That's quicksand. Waste of time. And so, Hebrews 12 verse 1. Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to what? The life of faith. You see what they call it again? It's the life of faith. Trusting in the Son of God. The life of faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off what? There are three things you will see here. Number one, strip off every weight that slows us down. Especially, number two, the sin that so easily what? Trips up. And let us run with what? Endurance, the race God has set before us. Continue. We do this. How do we run this race? How do we live this life? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. What did David say? I shall look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. You do this by keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects what? Our faith. And remember, this is the life of faith. And it's Jesus that initiates this life of faith, perfects it for me. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Who initiates and perfects our faith? So I run this race by keeping my eyes on Jesus, not keeping my eyes on any other thing. Therefore, focus becomes key in living the spirit life. You know why we must study the spirit life and know it? Because it is scarce in the body of Christ. It is very scarce. You know what we're talking about, love, that the church has spun us upside down, God's program and God's purpose. God says, I desire mercy and not what? Sacrifice. And what did the church do? They put sacrifice above and took mercy out of the program. Nobody talks about mercy. Nobody teaches mercy. Nobody teaches the love of God. It's more sacrifice, more dry fasting, 40 days dry, 50 days dry. Pentecostals in heaven, we do program. The love program. Pentecostals love program. Oh my God. In heaven, they will do program. If they don't do program, they will tell Jesus, we are going back to the earth. While we do program, we love, oh my God. So we spun the thing around because you see, the sacrifices makes you, gives you this feeling of something that you've qualified. You know, God should now be able to. You know, and when things are not working, we add more sacrifices. My question is, you can look at the body of Christ and tell me how much of the glory of Jesus that each person really exudes in his life. How much of the glory of Jesus? Most of the time, we're in the dark about our life. We're in the dark about what's happening around us. We're in the dark about everything. And that's why we chase prophets from New York to New Jersey, chasing prophets all over the place. But we shouldn't be in the dark. Because part of the spirit life is to know things to come. Part of the spirit life is to know what your Father is doing. Because Jesus said, my Father shows me what he does. So the soul can do this. It's not just because I'm obeying God. No, no. It's a life that is lived in serious intimacy with Christ, that when people are talking a language, you are hearing from God another language. Let me tell you, if you live the spirit life, you will be odd. You are going to be misunderstood. I'm not kidding. You are going to be totally misunderstood. I'm persecuted by fellow Christians. Because whereas they think this is the way, you are doing something else. And people who live the spirit life and the minority can't find them in the majority. Because the Bible says you can't explain their life. But it's a life that brings out Christ in full glory. In full glory. When you talk, you become an oracle of God. When you talk, you don't talk. Don't talk garbage like people. You don't open your mouth and you'll be yapping. You don't talk all the dogmas and doctrines that come from denominations. When you talk, it's inspired of God. And people who are of wisdom, they hear you. They hear you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Have you not been somewhere where people are yapping and somebody begins to say, please, quiet, let's hear him. We need to hear I talk. Why? There's something they recognize there. When Joseph showed up, Pharaoh said, can we find anybody that has this type of what? Spirit. He made all the difference. Joseph didn't have money, didn't have car, didn't have title, didn't have recognition. They had something. He had something. When David showed up, he was a small boy, there was nothing. But he had something. And that something made the difference between the entire Israel and Goliath. He had the spirit upon himself, not even in him. So when we live this spirit life, we shouldn't live in darkness. We should live in the light. It's not a religious organization, it's not a religious program, a religious arrangement. No. It's where a man lives the life of Christ, lives the life of Christ. It's a supernatural life. It's not an ordinary life. So it's not an idea of I'm obeying God. No, it's that Christ is living fully what? In you. And you live in his knowledge, in his authority, in his power. It's exuding out of you. Exuding out of you. It's a different thing. It's not a weird, you know, floating in the clouds. No, it's a reality that people have lived before. So focus is everything in this thing. Focus is important. Focus is what? Important. So that scripture says, we run this race by looking unto Jesus. Then he says to us, put it back. Let's pick it up again. We do this by keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. But before then, in verse 1, can you go back to verse 1? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off now every weight that what? Yeah, so I want to talk about the first thing that he says we should strip off. These things are distractions to focusing on Jesus. Anything that will distract you from focusing on Jesus is not worth it at all. It's not worth it at all. It will affect and compromise your faith very fast and very easily. And when you have your faith compromised, your life of faith is totally in jeopardy. You'll be living the carnal life, thinking you are living the spiritual life. I mean, you find that you have unstable emotions. You are easily cranky. You get easily angry. Your flesh is just ruling you and kicking you like football. But you think that it is those sacrifices you do, all those fastings and this and this, that will substitute for the life? No. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. It's not by their fruits. Stable emotion, loving kindness, compassion. You find it begin to flow. Christ begin to flow in all his beauty. And the glory of God is in his character too. Not just in power, but in his character, in his life. So those things that distract us from focusing on Jesus will compromise our faith very quickly and push us into living carnal life. And brethren, look up here. If you are living a carnal life, it will affect your prayer adversely. Because the flesh will profit you what? You will do like prophets of that bad. Because you see, you are not in tune with the Spirit of God at all. And so your prayer is not really being inspired of God. Because everything we do in the spirit life must be inspired of Christ. So focusing on him becomes very, very important. And so the first thing is to do away with all these things that the Bible called weight. The Bible called them what? Weight. The Bible called them what? Weight. The Bible called them what? Weight. Now, you know what those weights are? It's all the burdens of life that we bear. All the burdens of life that we bear. All the burdens of life that we bear. Let me read this scripture for us before we go on. It's a can't find it. So let's continue. So it's all the burdens of life that we really bear. All those things will distract you from focusing on Jesus Christ. They will take your focus away from Christ and put it on the burdens, on the situations and the challenges of your life. And it is very, very tempting. It is extremely tempting. Because, you know, some certain things that happen are all around our lives, and we find it seriously tempting not to look away from them. And we talk about them in the morning, talk about them in the afternoon, talk about them in the evening. It's all a center of our focus. Everything we talk is about them. Those things are the burdens we shouldn't bear. We should not bear them. Can I hear amen? They are the weights the scripture is talking about. They will kill your faith. They will make you think God is unfaithful. They will cloud Jesus out of your vision very quickly. There is nowhere the scripture recommends that you focus on your challenges and problems. They will kill your faith. I'm telling you, there is nothing that knocks a man's faith out so fast than taking your eyes off Jesus and looking at the challenges and burdens of life. Look at Acts 20:23. Acts 20:23. Said that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions, what? Await me. Then the next verse. But none of these things, what? Move me. I'm not going to look at them. Nor do I count my life, what? Dear to myself. Why? Why? So that I may, what? Finish my race with joy, 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 with joy. If I focus on these things that is awaiting me, I will lose my joy. I will get into fear. I will get into unbelief. He said, they don't move me. I don't give them attention. They don't count. They don't count so that I can finish this thing. I have to keep looking on Jesus, or not on those bonds and things that await me. He said, there's no way so that I can do this with joy. I can do this with joy. I can do this with joy. Let me read it again. Acts 20:23. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations, what? With me. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count myself dear to my life. So that I may finish my race with what? Joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. How did Paul do this thing? 2 Timothy. Let me show you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 11. We tell you how Timothy did that. To which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I said, I'm appointed to do these things. For this reason, I also suffer what? These things. Nevertheless, I am not, it doesn't make me ashamed, make me, you know, cow down. So I'm not going to church again. I'm not worshiping God again. God said, if you know what I'm passing through, brethren, you should know what I'm passing through. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing all of that. I'm not doing that. He said, for I know whom I have what? Believed. And I'm now persuaded that he's able to do what? Keep what I have committed to him until that day. He said, I took my life and all these things and committed into his hand. And he's able to handle it. So I'm not going to let this thing bother me at all. Because I've been appointed to this thing. Brother, we've been appointed to eternal life now. All of us. So we're not going to let the things of this world tie you, make you ashamed. You know, you're looking for empathy. Nobody knows what I'm passing through. Hey, listen to me now. Let me tell you. What you are passing through, many are passing through it. If you check throughout this world, the Bible said there is no temptation that comes to you, but it's such as what? Common to all men. A brother came to my office one time. He was sharing with me all his burdens of life. And after he finished, I said, let me tell you my own. And this is a real story. I'm not making it up. I started to tell him my own. He started to cry in my office. He said, Pastor, you? I said, yeah. He was in my tears. I said, I haven't finished. He was crying in my office. He said, Pastor, I said, yeah. Jesus didn't deceive anybody. He said, you should count the cost whether you want to follow me. But you better sit down and count whether you want to what? Follow me. You know, nothing you see. Look, people pass through all manner of things all over the world. Christians, missionaries. Go and see what the missionaries are suffering. They forgo their children, no luxury, nothing. Some of them die. They bring them back dead, killed by sickness. Missionaries preaching the gospel. And you are here drinking juice. I don't know what to say. Taking pizza. You even order pizza. Some missionaries have never seen pizza. But you take pizza every day. Brethren, let me tell us the thing. We have been called to eternal life. And none of these things move us. Can I hear a bigger amen? Amen. Come move us. We are heading for glory. There is something beyond this world. There is something more important than all these things. These things will pass away. They will all go. I told somebody, I said, why is it we don't even find out how God looks at death? Why are we so selfish and blinded by the flesh? I said, you think when Christian died, God is crying? I said, see what happened? He died. God is rejoicing. He said, my child is coming. I said, they are rejoicing in heaven. I don't want to tell you why most of us cry. If I tell you, you won't like it. So I won't say it. I'm not saying it. Don't tempt me. Praise the Lord. So Paul said, I cast these things unto the Lord. He's able to keep it. Let it come. The one in me is greater than he that is in the world. Let it come. He said, it doesn't bother me. You see this thing God called me, I will do it. Brethren, that's why I said we need to make up our mind from the beginning to say, I will live this eternal life. Come rain, come sunshine. And so in First Peter said the same thing. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting the whole of your care. Some of it. Can we read Amplified Version? Casting the whole of your care, what? All your, and what again? And what again? How many times? Let's read it again. Casting the whole of your cares, all your what? Number two. Number three. How many times? Where do you cast it? On him. Why? For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you. Brethren, this has been a scripture that helped me through life. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm not carrying it. I said to the Lord, over to you. And I'm going to sleep. I'm going to eat. I'm going to enjoy myself. While you take care of that, I'll be sleeping. And there hasn't been one that has failed. God has seen me through a lot of stuff. I'm telling you, a lot of stuff. Because, see, I don't have anything here. Onyeka, come. Bring your jacket. Man, I like your jacket. Can I have it from here? Okay. Today is Father's Day. I have a Father's Day gift. Casting all your burdens, what? Upon him, for he carried. Now, if I cast it upon him, what is the proof I've cast it upon him? Go my way. Why? I don't have it. Who has it? For so he giveth his beloved sleep. So he says, it is vain for you to sit up at there and be carrying all these things. What is the wisdom in casting it? I can't handle it. I don't know what to do. I have no strength, but he has. And he can. Is anybody following me? Now, I cast it upon him, and the devil says, that thing will kill you. Say, yeah, it's true. Yeah, go and carry it again. Once I carry it, will I feel it? Of course now, it will weigh you down. The weight that slows you down. It will slow you down. Your faith in God will start going down. Your excitement. You used to be so excited about evangelism, no more. You used to be excited about Bible studies, no more. Bible study, nobody will come before you before now, no more. Excited. Love the Lord. You used to pay your tithe. Now you're asking, why should I even pay tithe? You used to. Check out among you. I told you on Thursday, I said, many people that started this race with you are no more enthusiastic. The Bible said the love of many is happening. Why? Burdens of life. The Bible said, if you want to run this thing, cast it off. It will slow you down. It won't let you. Thank you. All you have is questions and questions, fault finding. If they give you to do it, won't even do it well. But you find fault with those. God is even, God, they're even trying their best. Find fault with Sunday school teacher. Find fault with Sunday school superintendent. Find fault with Pastor Chinedu. As handsome as I am, how can you find fault with? How can you? A man. See this handsome man. How can anybody find fault with me? If you catch them, wring their neck. Yeah. You find fault with everything. Even find fault with Bro Chris Onyechi. Say the heat is not working well. Why is Bro Chris Onyechi? If I see him. Brethren, what I'm telling you is absolute truth. But the Bible says, go back to your first what? Love. Say, repent. If you don't, I'll remove the light from you. I'm not giving you revelation again. Because there's no need. My revelation is no more precious to you. I'm no more precious to you. You've lost confidence in God. Why? Because of burdens of life. And brethren, you know, most of these things are the things that perish here on earth. Once we close our eyes, we own nothing. I was there now. Was I not there? We prayed. I said, Lord, I release her to you. Into your hand I commit my beloved sister. Let her go in peace. And that was it. And I stood back. I said, this is life. I was learning. But this is it. So all these things, this is it. Come on. Nothing. You don't own nothing. And then we were finished. They said, Pastor, are you okay? I said, I'm fine. It's okay, we'll wash her up now. We'll wash her up. Brethren, that's it. That's why we won't come to church. We won't come to Bible study. All these things, what I'm asking, can't we even learn from experience? Can't we even learn? And Jesus warned us, say, don't follow me for things that perish. Because you know they will become burden. The devil wants to put it on you and use it to murmur, complain, find fault, burden. Cast off this burden that slows you down. Cast it on Jesus. He cares about us. He knew before he comes. He has planned before he comes. If you let him, he's beautiful in all situations. If you agree with me, shout hallelujah. I'm telling you the absolute truth. Many Christians are going cold. I said it on Thursday. I said it's called backsliding. The scripture predicted it. If it's happening, don't be surprised. Jesus said, you need to pray so that you survive these things that will come to pass. They're not going to be interested. I'm telling you. If you think it's going to be, look, the life of faith is not a life of, things working out well all the time for you, no. The life of faith is that whether good or bad, your faith in Christ stands solid. It's a stable thing. Paul said, I've learned in want and in a plenty. He said, to do what? I can do all things through Christ. If I don't have, hallelujah. If I have, hallelujah. Stable. This is a thermostat, not a thermometer. That's the life of faith doesn't mean everything. Testimony is both ways. Paul's testimony was mostly how God kept him in severe. Read his testimonies. Now, he was abandoned. He was rejected. He was talking about how God was faithful. God stood by me. The Lord did this for me. The Lord kept me. And I prayed the gospel. Matthew 6, 26 to 27. Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father leads them, feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Then verse, can we read 27 together? One, two, go. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can you add a single moment to your life? And Jesus says something very interesting. Please look up here. This is the Lord talking, not Pastor Chin. He said that worry is the domain of the heathens. He said it's a sure sign that people don't know me. I didn't say it, he said it. He said that's what heathens do who don't know God. And let me tell you, worry is a life of the flesh, not life of the spirit. We're talking, life of the spirit is a life of faith. You can't be in faith and be worried. That's not the same thing. So look at what he said. This is the Lord talking, Matthew 6, 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of what? Unbelievers. This is what unbelievers do. Christians don't do this. It dominates the thought of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Then he says, verse 33, the popular one, seek you what? Kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously. I will give you everything you need. What do you mean to seek the kingdom? To seek the things of the kingdom. Who is the sitting at the king of the kingdom? It's Jesus. Look, come to Jesus. The things of the kingdom is the activities of Christ, the cross, what he achieved for you, what he made you to become. Focus on Christ Jesus so that the Holy Spirit will reveal him to you. See, that's your primary goal. The things of this kingdom of God, not the things of this world. Not the things of this world. And then, now, in Isaiah 6, 26, verse 3, thou will keep him in what? Perfect peace. Why? Whose mind is stayed on thee? Because he trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, and for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He said, because focusing on him is trusting in him. Then when you do that, God will now keep you in perfect peace. That's living the life of the Spirit. keep you in perfect peace. Look at okay, the New Living Translation. Is that the one? Okay, we read New Living Translation. Now, see why we do this, focusing on the Lord. There was a church that stopped doing that. Galatians verse 3 from verse 1. Message. Message. Galatians 3 from verse 1. Oh, foolish, what? Who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You see, obeying the truth is believing the gospel, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having become, I'm talking of message. Give me message. That's where I'm going. Let me put this. Can you bring it down? You cut off. Okay, it comes in multiple versions. Okay, so we manage it. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by walking your heads off to please God, or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think they could do what? Complete by their own effort what was begun by He who started the good works in you is the same person that we what? That's why it's called the life of faith. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose you could perfect it? Did you go through the whole painful learning process for nothing? Is it not yet a total loss? But it certainly will be if you keep this up. Continue to verse 3. Verse 3. Is that verse? Oh, I've read 3 and 4. I'm reading, my own says, okay, go to verse 1, sorry. Verse 1, please, sorry. Verse 1. I'm sorry, Alpha. Verse 1, okay. You crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened. For it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Jesus where? I didn't hear you. Where? In your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly said before you clearly enough. He said you're no more focused on him. He said that's a crazy thing for anybody to do. So where else are you looking? That's what he's saying. How can you not look on him? Where else are you looking? Where else will your faith come from? And look at what happened. 2 Corinthians 3:18. It'll tell you why it's important that we focus there. New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 3:18. New Living. Should we? 2 Corinthians 3:18. Not 8:18. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see, we can all see and reflect the glory of Jesus, of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us, you see, he said the Lord Jesus who is what? The Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. How? We see and we reflect. If we see, we reflect. If we don't see, we don't reflect. If you see, you reflect. If you don't see, you don't reflect. It's what you see, you reflect. That's what he's saying. In King James, he said, when we behold his glory, we are now being transformed. So that's why looking at him is key. It's so important that we understand all of this. It is so important that we know that focus is key. I will stop on this burden thing. Next Sunday, I'll continue. Because there are three things that came out of the scripture we read, but today we just dealt with throwing away the burdens that slows us down and then focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ so that the Spirit of Christ can now transform us by renewing our mind. By next Sunday, we'll be talking about how Jesus said, eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus, his Son. So we see how these things are interwoven and how this sweet life must be lived. Praise the Lord, somebody. If you heard me, shout hallelujah. If you are sleeping,